On this week's episode of What the Puck, Kuznetsov finally packs his bags, Leick's got a new lady friend, and the U.S. takes Russia to overtime in Sochi. All this and more on this week's episode of What the Puck. Welcome, everybody, to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. How's everybody doing out there in podcast land? Joining me, as always, we got my buddy, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good, everybody. Make sure you tell everybody around that you're friends with, that you're hockey fans alongside with. You guys are going to games, you know, cheering the Caps on as much as possible. Let people know we are available on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and CapsHill.com. We got plenty to talk about. Not a lot of Caps news, but we're going to start off with something that kind of broke. Again, crazy how this stuff works now. Broke on social media. I had to use Google Translate to figure out what this guy actually said. But Evgeny Kuznetsov, he showed his apartment, and he showed a bunch of bags kind of chilling out while the KHL is on break. And he pretty much said, "This is my new apartment, but I can't enjoy it that much because I'm going to be leaving soon. I'm leaving Russia soon." So once again, all signs point to this guy coming over and playing for the Capitals very soon.
Yeah, I actually saw it on Twitter thanks to this little thing on the iPhone they have. I don't know if they have it on Android too, where I guess if a bunch of people that you're following retweet something, then it pops up on your phone saying, "Hey, this person, and this person have retweeted so-and-so's tweet." And so I saw one from Dmitry Chesnikov.
Right.
And I was like, that's interesting that they all, you know, usually it's like, oh, what are they all talking about? So I go and I opened it up, and it's, you know, I couldn't read most of what Kuznetsov said, but I caught the handle and I went, oh, that's his name. And then thankfully he put this in English. He said, "Leaving for the Caps." I was like, what? So then I had to go on my phone. I was like, stop everything I'm doing right now. My phone's on sound, which I didn't realize I was still on, my bad.
It's all right. Having Kuznetsov coming up is kind of like a power-up, so that's cool.
It is. It's the coin from Super Mario, man. Come on. It is. I just jumped up and got a coin because we just got Kuznetsov. No, it certainly sounds like this kid's coming over. I, like you, had to go on to Google Translate be like, what is he trying to say? But it's one thing for him to say it. And it's like, okay, well, maybe he's just screwing with everybody. Maybe he's going to take it away like the other thing. But he was actually responding to fans who were sending him messages asking if this was for real. People would say, "Oh, we're very excited to have you over here," and he'd go, "Yeah, me too. I'm really excited to come." And like, wait, what? So like, it sounds like, unless it's gonna come with the whole "oh, I've been hacked" thing, it certainly sounds like this kid is coming over here. You know, once the KHL season is over, once his season is over with, he's playing what, Tractor?
Yeah.
He's gonna be coming over and playing with the Washington Capitals. And I think this is a great thing for the team. I really hope this is not, "Oh, this is our move at the deadline," you know, spiel we get from McPhee, where some guy comes back from an injury or some rookie comes over. And I certainly hope it's not gonna be a thing like Philip Forsberg, where he ends up getting traded at the deadline.
Yeah.
Because that would just be the worst move for McPhee right now after making that gigantic mistake last year. And this kid is the real deal. As long as he can stay healthy, he's got a ton of talent. I mean, I know a lot of people were, you know, I guess happy to see Alexander Semin go. But as much as Semin was sort of a frustrating player to have on this team, he was incredibly talented. And to have him leave, it certainly put a problem with this team that they've had since he left in secondary scoring. Because Kuznetsov, I would say, is just as good as Semin, or is going to be just as good as Semin, if not better. You know, as long as he can stay healthy, this kid is definitely going to bring some secondary scoring to this team. It's a question mark as to how long it's going to take him to adapt to the North American game. And again, if he can stay healthy. But if he adapts quickly and can play the game over here, you know, this kid could be fantastic.
Personally, I think this guy is pissed. I think that he stayed over in Russia for 2 years because I guess they couldn't guarantee him a spot on the Russian team in the Olympics, but it was his hopes if he were to stay loyal to the KHL and to the, you know, because that's Russia's league. If he would stay loyal there, play with them, he'd be able to play in the Olympics. Now we're in the middle of the Olympics and he's sitting at home doing nothing. So I think really he's pissed off about it. So I think he's ready to go. Of course, we know through Russian Machine Never Breaks, they put up a couple stories and said that Kuznetsov was getting whistled at games, which is not a good thing. It's kind of like booing here in the States. So a lot of people have had bad things to say about him. I think a lot of people are saying that he's all focused on the NHL, not focused on finishing out KHL Tractor. So I think he's ready to go. I think he's like, I stayed over here. I waited 2 years. They didn't give me what I was told I was going to get. I'm ready to get out of here, and I'm ready to test my skills up against the NHL. So all signs point to him coming. I think he's excited about it. I think he's got something to prove, because I think there's a lot of people saying, like, this isn't that great of a get. I forget who it was on Twitter, but somebody was like, hooray, we're getting a guy who's -9 in the KHL.
I saw that too.
Yeah, so what are you guys so excited about? But he's gonna add something to this team. Just the fact that I think it's going to help him adapt with another Russian like Ovechkin there. I think that's going to help him a lot. And it's going to make things interesting, especially with Grabowski. If Kuznetsov were to come over and Grabowski still be hurt, would he slip right into, you know, that second or third line center? Would he take Grabowski's spot and have Grabowski still, of course, playing? Like, I don't think they're going to bench him or anything once he is healthy or whatever. But he's only got a year contract. So at the end of this season, who's to say that Kuznetsov comes over, proves himself, and Grabowski's gone? I think that's what the Capitals are at least preparing themselves for by getting him over here as quickly as possible. We might see Kuznetsov soon. Right now in the KHL, I think there's a one or two games in the regular season left, and then it's their playoffs, and Traktor supposedly will be making the KHL playoffs and kind of like sneaking into that eighth seed spot. So it all depends on how well Traktor does in the next week or two to when Kuznetsov will be coming over. But at least this week, we see him bags ready to go and him saying he's leaving Russia soon. So very interesting couple weeks coming up for the Capitals once he's over here.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about Grabowski. I think he'd be the great guy to pair with Kuznetsov. You put Grabowski, Kuznetsov, and a guy like Brouwer or someone on, you know, provided for Brouwer continues at least the last two games before the Olympic break. You put them on a line together, I think that's a very talented second line. You've got a pure goal scorer in Kuznetsov. You've got a guy who's supposed to be able to crash the net in Troy Brouwer. And you've got a guy who can set both of them up and also score on his own in Grabowski. I think that's a very talented second line to bring in some secondary scoring to this team. But, you know, there's still sort of the question as to what happens with the first line. If they go out and acquire a first line winger to play with Ovechkin and Backstrom, then what do you do with Marcus Johansson? You know, is he a guy you move out because you brought in Kuznetsov? I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, I think Erat's going to be gone before the deadline or at the deadline, and Johansson's going to get that first line spot back. And, you know, I'd like to see the line settle down a little bit. I think when Kuznetsov comes over, if they put him on the third or fourth line, it's a gigantic waste. The kid's got talent. You got to throw him in there and let him put the puck in the net, or at least give it a good shot. You know, he shouldn't be going into Hershey or anything like that. And, you know, this team needs secondary scoring right now, and to not, if they put him somewhere where he's not going to be able to put the puck, be put in a position to put the puck in the back of the net, then they're hurting their chances of making the playoffs, because they have a tough schedule once they get back from the Olympics. And, you know, they need every point they can get. They need every goal they can get, and having this kid as soon as possible is going to be a good thing. I don't know if there's any connection between Grabowski and Kuznetsov. I think, if anything, they want to keep both those guys around. Grabowski, I mean, a lot of people, Grabowski is sort of replacing Ribeiro. That was a lot of the talk, and I think, you know, to some extent, that's obviously true. One played second line. Now he's playing second line. So obviously one's sort of a replacement for the other. But Grabowski's younger. He shoots the puck more. Maybe he doesn't quite have the finesse to some extent that Ribeiro did. But I like Grabowski on this team. I think he's incredibly talented. You know, he can be a physical guy, but he can also play the puck. He's definitely a guy they need to keep around. They need to re-sign him. So there's a lot of moves McPhee needs to do. You know, we don't even know if McPhee's going to be sticking around, but there's a lot of moves he needs to do before the end of the season. He needs to re-sign Grabowski. They're going to have to sign Kuznetsov to a contract. Let's not forget about that. He can't come over here and play until he's got a contract signed. Although I expect that to be sort of a formality at this point. So it's also, you know, they got some moves to make. It's going to be an interesting thing going on. But this team has definitely got a lot of interesting things that will be happening between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I agree with you. I think Grabowski is a huge addition to this team. I think he fits very well with the Capitals. I would love for him to stay past this year. I thought that's why they really brought him in this year, though, was because they were still waiting for Kuznetsov to take that center spot. But like you said, having Kuznetsov on the wing or something like that could really be a great addition as well. So I'm very interested to see what this team does and what George McPhee does in the next couple weeks. But we should also talk about this before we jump into the Olympics. We were talking before we went on air, and a lot of the Capitals will be coming back to D.C. in the next day or two, because the NHL is going to allow teams to use the facilities again with the Olympics kind of winding down this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be nice to see some of the guys get back on the ice. Obviously, the guys over in Sochi won't be coming back anytime soon unless their team gets eliminated. And even then, who knows if they're going to stick around. I have no idea. You know, but it'll be nice to see the guys get back on the ice to get, you know, Holpe to continue playing and transition, getting himself more comfortable with the new style that they're having him play. You know, see the guys get back together. So I can't remember who it was. Somebody tweeted out that they were going back to D.C. I think it was today. But I am completely blanking on who that was right now. But, you know, it'd be nice. I'd like to be able to have an opportunity to get out to Kettler one of these days and be able to check out how they're doing, how they're practicing. It'd be nice to see if Karbovsky's on the ice, see if he's back in game shape. Green, if he can stay healthy for more than 8 seconds. And just a couple other of these guys. See if Brooks Lake isn't too busy out in California with a new girlfriend or anything like that. But you know, it'd be nice to see these guys get back on the ice and see what they're up to.
Yeah, whoever knew that Brooks Lake was stargazing, man, going dating Julianne Hough. I don't know how those two met, congrats to Brooks Lake, girlfriend.
He's got
Julianne
some
Hough.
Skills. Apparently, he was able to nab. But I honestly cannot tell you what she's been in that I would know.
That's the funniest thing. If somebody is like, oh, he's dating her, why do I know that name?
I knew the name, and I know she's attractive. Yeah. Can't tell you what she's been, though.
We should talk about this, too, what the Capitals have been up to during this break. Eric Fair posted a picture on Twitter earlier today that he went fishing, and he had this giant fish that he caught in Florida. But I also, via Connor Carrick's Twitter account, I sent you a picture of where he was vacationing because I thought it was hilarious. You and I were talking about this kid being 19, never going on spring break before, and then he posts this picture of this just amazing paradise of this – I don't even know where it was, but just this paradise of beach and sand and palm trees and these huge hotels and everything like that. So kid definitely knows how to spend spring break this time around. So good for him.
Yeah. I mean, I just hope that they all went out, got healthy, rested their bodies, you know, got their minds right because they got to have a tough stretch between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely they do. So Capitals coming back to town. They're going to get back into shape, do what they got to do. Hopefully everybody had a good vacation. And big moves coming up in the next couple of weeks with Kuznetsov coming over. So that's pretty much it for Caps news this week. Of course, the NHL and the everybody's kind of off for the Olympics. So why don't we talk about what's going on in Sochi so far? All right, guys, if you are watching the Olympics like I am having a great time. I can't really explain how these games are so different than the NHL, but there is so much going on in Sochi right now. I have been absolutely loving every single Olympics hockey game that I have watched. But let's start off talking about the good old US of A. Let's talk about that USA-Russia game that happened over the weekend. What a game. I hope you got up early. I hope you set an alarm, got up at 7 on a Saturday and watched this game live. What a hockey game. I want to say it's in my top five of greatest hockey games I've ever watched. Absolutely love this game and how it came down to the shootout. 8 rounds, and the U.S. just went after TJ Oshie, hashtag Oshie in Sochi. So let's talk about this game. The U.S., I got to say, they looked good against Russia. I mean, they had a lot going against them. Russia, you know, being the hometown crowd, that place was completely rocking. And even though Russia didn't play... I mean, they played good, but didn't play the greatest game they could have, and the U.S. coming out on top in the shootout. Coach Dan, what was going through your head throughout this game? I was completely enthralled with what I was watching on TV.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a great game. I thought Russia definitely brought their best, I'd say, in the first, at least first 10 minutes, 15 minutes, if not the entire first period. You want to say the difference real quick between Olympic hockey and the NHL? There's no commercials during the period.
That's true. That was fun.
The games go a lot faster. But to some extent, it keeps the intensity there because you're like, there's no stoppage for a commercial where you're like, all right, I can go get something to eat or drink or go to the bathroom. Like, you got to sit there and hold it because the game's not stopping. Unless right. You DVR it like I did because I'm not waking up on a day off at 7:30 in the morning. But anyways, back to the point. No, I thought the game was great. I thought, you know, there were some great things to take away from it. There were some questioning things. I thought – I think the Americans are a better team on paper, but I think the Russians have, you know, they have more talented players, but not enough players have the equal talent. You know what I mean? Like, they have some really great players, Ovechkin, Malkin, Kovalchuk, just some really Datsyuk. And even Datsyuk's not even healthy, and he's still probably one of the best players out there. You know, they don't have enough guys of that quality. So when you don't have those guys on the ice and the Americans were able to take advantage, I was a little concerned that the U.S. had trouble scoring after going out and just completely dominating Slovakia. You know, I thought the Americans went out and dominated Slovakia. They had a good game against Russia. They got a little lucky and then kind of struggled, even though they were able to even pretty easily beat Slovenia. So, but back to that game, I thought it was amazing. Disqualified goal for the Russians.
Yeah.
I thought it was just, it was one of those goals where in the NHL it would have counted, they were saying, but in international hockey, because the rules are different, as soon as a goal is dislodged in any way, even if it is as minute as that was, it doesn't count. But to sit there and watch that, it was just like, you kind of got a feel for the Russians.
Yeah,
they got kind of hosed.
Yeah, if you were on Twitter, Caps goalie prospect Sergei Kudstenko, he was really pissed.
Well, I can completely understand. I mean, the same thing was it. Slava Voino, what's his name? Not Slava Voino. So the guy in LA, Slava Voino. He came out and was saying, because he plays with Quick, and he was like, I know him. I know his tricks. You know, he basically called him out for saying that he purposely kicked it. Now, but how many? I'm sure a lot of goalies go out and try and pull that move. They know they're in trouble to sort of get a stoppage and play, give their guys a rest and even themselves a chance to take a rest. So I don't think it's that big a deal. I'm sure goalies all over do that kind of a thing. But, yeah. You know, it was just one of those things where you're kind of like, the Americans got lucky there.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I saw in the news last night that outside of the U.S. Embassy in Moscow, they posted a picture of the referee, and I don't know what the sign said because it was in Russian, but the Russians are not happy at all because it was an American referee who made that call and who disallowed the goal. But to his credit, I got to say, I mean, he's following the rule book. The ref's not wrong, whether or not that was dislodged on purpose or not. You can't blame the referee for that because the goal was dislodged from, you know, where it was supposed to be. And if it's like that in international hockey, it's no goal. So that's just kind of the way the cookie crumbles for them. But that was a huge break for the U.S. I mean, I don't know if they would have gotten that, you know, that third goal in regulation time. If that goal was disallowed, if the goal wasn't disallowed. So really it just added to the drama of that game. Let's talk about John Carlson in that game, though. He came out in the first game, and he was the first American in the Sochi Olympics the first male American to score for Team USA. So that was I was jumping up and down in my living room when that happened. So proud of Carlson for being able to do that. But second game against Russia, he did that first goal was pretty much on him. He was out of place. I don't think he was used to that big ice surface. I think he was used to the NHL rink, because Datsyuk was able to get around him, clear shot to the goal, and then they got their first goal. After that, he was pretty much benched for the rest of the game. You didn't see him at all except for maybe a 16-second time on the ice in the third period, but past that, he sat the entire time. He got a little bit more. He was back up to about 9 minutes the game after that, but Carlson, that first goal, that really was on him.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bad play for the Russians' first goal where he, you know, it's one of those things where, I guess, in the NHL-sized rink, he'd been able to come back and cover. But in the international rink, it's much bigger. You have the opportunity. He made a mistake, and I guess Bosman was sort of sending a message to him that you can't pull that kind of stuff. You have to be focused the entire time. The team wants to go out and win gold. They have to stay focused the entire time. To go with the Americans in general, I mean, we've had some guys that have been stepping up. Kessel with a great – I mean, he got, a hat-trick in the game a win over Slovenia. But yeah. You know, I think guys like Patrick Kane, your boy, hasn't been playing this best of hockey. Parise, yeah. I need to see more from him. I mean, we had some of these guys who should be putting the puck in the back of the net that aren't doing it. And if they want to have a chance to go and have even the opportunity to fight for a medal in general, let alone gold, the guys, the stars, even though they're all stars sort of, but, you know, the big-name players on this American team are going to have to step up and play better. And that includes John Carlson. I mean, I thought it was funny that his last two shots when he scored that goal – were both last two shots in international competition were both goals. He got the game winner over Canada in the World Juniors, and then that was his next shot, was the one that went in against Slovakia. So the kid, I mean, the kid's got talent, but he's got to keep focus. He's got to make sure he's paying attention, because he can't make mistakes like that when it's going to come down to elimination games.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm fairly, you know, impressed with the way the U.S. is playing. TJ Oshie, I mean, the star of this game, you got to give him credit. Such a great guy after the game. They said, how does it feel to be an American hero? And he said, I'm not a hero. That's people that wear camouflage every day when they go to work are the heroes. So great to see a guy like that staying humble. And I don't know if you've seen it, but man, is his fiance friggin' hot as well. Jeez.
I have not.
Oh, my goodness. You look
Google. At Google.
definitely some motivation right there for this guy. The U.S., we'll talk about what they got coming up in a little bit. Let's talk about how Russia's been doing. I don't know if you've kind of noticed this or not, but it seems to me like the Russian team is not using Ovechkin the way he's used for the Capitals, at least. It seems like they're kind of putting Ovechkin to the wayside, kind of acting like he isn't the top dog on that team. He is wearing the A. He's not the captain, but he is the face of Sochi, everywhere around, but never used him for the shootout at all. And
well, can you blame him?
No, I don't like him on the shootout either. I don't blame him for that, but like, they're not using him there. They have him on the power play, and he's in his normal spot, and they rarely ever pass to him in his normal spot. It seems like they're trying to focus on Kovalchuk and Malkin and Datsyuk, and Ovechkin's kind of like an afterthought on this team.
When I was watching those games, seeing the power plays, and like, clearly it's not gonna be like the Caps where he's playing on both power play units, but it seems like they're not necessarily using him as often as the Capitals might be doing. That's obviously because he's clearly the most talented player on the Capitals, and that may not necessarily be the case on the Russian team, or that there's just so much talent that you want to spread the wealth around. But, you know, to see him out there, it doesn't look like they're giving him that many opportunities. It's not the best thing for him. It's not going to help his mental part of the game. But also, I mean, he's got to do better. I mean, he came out and he had, what, a goal and an assist in that first game, and then since then, he hasn't done anything. So he sort of makes you wonder, you know, what's going on with the team right now. He's definitely got to step up, because right now this is the biggest thing. This is going to be the biggest Olympics for him. I would say even if he goes and wins gold in the next one in South Korea,
yeah,
or whatever, whether they win here or not, this is going to be the biggest one because it was on the Russian ice. So I think this is the biggest thing for him. The Russians, they don't have the easiest march to the gold medal, so to speak, but they definitely have an easier one than, say, the Americans or the Canadians, just because those two have to play each other. So, or potentially will be playing each other. So, you know, they still have a tough thing going forward. They have to play Finland, and then they potentially have to play the Swedes. But, there's definitely an opportunity for him to go out there and get a medal. But Ovechkin's got to pick up his game a little bit. And so do a lot of the Russians. I mean, they did, you know, they had a very good first game. They had a good game that got kind of screwed against the Americans. And then they had an ugly game in their last one, like, when they had that 1-0 shootout over Slovakia. So, you know, I mean, they came in fifth in the whole round robin tournament, which is not where they wanted to be. They shouldn't have had that much trouble against Slovakia. So it's sort of, we'll see what happens in their next game if they can play better. I mean, I know they won today, so they move on. Where they're going to be playing against Finland, what is it, tomorrow? So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, the Russians have a lot of work still to do. But a lot of teams do. I mean, the Canadians are struggling too.
Yeah, absolutely. They definitely have a lot of work to do. The last game or two, it's been KHLers who have been really keeping the Russian team alive. So we'll see what happens. Really, we're getting down to the nitty gritty now. It's the coming up next is the quarterfinals on Wednesday the 19th, and that's why we're recording early. That's we wanted to talk about this tournament going on. Let's talk about the U.S. again. U.S. up against the Czech Republic. John Carlson versus Marty Erat. You look at the other teams. We've got Sweden and Slovenia. We've got Finland and Russia, Canada and Latvia, and then the U.S. and the Czech Republic. The U.S. definitely has one of the harder games in those sets right there. You've got to worry about guys like Jaromir Jagr playing and Marty Erat, who Marty Erat has a goal. So
he's got as many goals for his country as he does for the Capitals. What the hell?
Exactly. So
like four games, he's got as many goals as in like 50 something games. Thanks, Marty. Well, he didn't play as many for the Caps because they've been like holding him out, but it's still kind of ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, the Russians have a tough one, and the U.S. have a tough tough game. I mean, Canada's playing Latvia. Ooh. Yes, Latvia went out and surprised Switzerland, but they're not exactly – neither one of them is known for their hockey, so it's not exactly the toughest. And, like, it's – you know, Slovenia's got some, what, Seattle Seahawks-looking jerseys. But Sweden's going to go right through those guys, and it'll be interesting to see who they all end up matching up.
Yeah, Slovenia is the big sleeper right now. A lot of people didn't even think that they were going to do well. This is the first time they're ever making it to the quarterfinals in international hockey, so that really says something about them. They kind of have that miracle attitude behind them right now. So that'll be interesting to see how they do up against Sweden. That's going to be Marcus Johansson and Nick Backstrom. I got to say, the Swedish team, they've been looking great. I think out of everybody right now, they're the ones that kind of seem like they might be a lock to go all the way to the gold medal game.
Yeah, I mean, they've played well. Backstrom had, what, a really nice assist in that first game. And, you know, Johansson didn't play in the first game, and then Zetterberg went down with the injury. And so Johansson came in, and he's been out there. I can't see if he's on all that much. But, you know, the fact that they went 5-3 over Latvia, you would have expected that score to be a little more lopsided than it was. And they struggled to get a 1-0 win over Switzerland. So we'll see how they do. It seems like everybody's struggling. But if you go and you look at it, these guys didn't really have a lot of time to get prepared. I mean, yeah, they have the camps over the summer or whatever where the players can come in and sort of show the talent they have to the coaches for then months later. But, you know, it's a little different. So it seems like, you know, these teams struggle and then – once they start to gel, which is probably be right around now, that they started to start playing a lot better. And we'll see how these teams do. I think Sweden has the talent and they have the goaltender to be able to go on a run like that. But then again, so does the U.S. If you can get these guys like Parise and Patrick Kane, even if Kane is as big of a D-bag as he is, the guy's a talented hockey player. So if he can go out and get the kind of the goals that he can or set players up, then his team could make a run. It looks like Jonathan Quick is going to be the guy for the U.S. It looks like he has surpassed Ryan Miller as the number one goaltender for this team. And if he can really play on his game, you know, these teams can make a run. Same thing with Lundqvist. I'm not sure who the Russians are going with tomorrow. You know, it's the same thing. Just like in the playoffs where a goalie can steal a series for you, even in the Stanley Cup run, you know, a goalie can do the exact same thing in the Olympics.
Yeah, goalie seems to be the big thing right now. And for Sweden, Russia, and the U.S., I mean, they've got very capable guys. I mean, you got Lundqvist for Sweden. You've got Bobrovsky, and you've got Varley, who, when he's not hitting women, can be a really good goalie. And then you've got Jonathan Quick, and you've got Ryan Miller. I mean, all of these guys are solid goaltenders in the NHL. I'd be happy with any of these guys being in the net, except for, you know, Varley, because we let him go and go to Colorado. So not really worried about him. But, the goaltenders, really, defense is what wins championships. You said that about the Super Bowl. I think that applies here as well. Defense is really what keeps you guys alive. And any of those goalies are very talented and could take them all the way. So very intrigued to see what will happen. What I'm really interested in is – say that Canada were to beat Latvia and the U.S. were to beat the Czech Republic, it seems as if on Friday the U.S. would be up against Canada in the semifinals. That would be a very interesting game due to the history that these two teams have had, especially after the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver with that gold medal game going to overtime and then everybody's golden boy, Sidney Crosby, coming out of nowhere and winning the gold. But I think the U.S.
It was all about him.
Yeah, all about him. I don't think anyone else played in that game except for him and Ryan Miller. So that's the way, you know, the NBC wants you to think about it. But that rematch would definitely be one to kind of take a long lunch, since it's going to be on at noon on Friday. Take a long lunch and watch that game.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be an interesting one. I'll be having to DVR all these games because I got to work, but I'll be watching them when I get home from work. It's going to be exciting, but, you know, both these teams still have – both these teams will have games to play before that. That's the biggest thing, is not looking ahead. The U.S. Can't go into tomorrow's game against the Czech Republic thinking, okay, we got to worry about Canada. No, you got to worry about beating the Czech Republic because, yes, while we make fun of Marty Ehrlich, because he's such an easy target, let's be honest. You know, these are two talented teams. Well, the Czech Republic is. Latvia, I think, is not an up-and-coming team, but they definitely could surprise you. I don't think they're going to go out and beat Canada, but they can at least give them a run for their money. But the U.S. has to be focused right now if they want to beat the Czech Republic, because it's not going to be an easy game to win. You know, they're going to have to go out there and play hard, because they could They could just as easily be knocked out of this tournament if they're not focused.
Yeah, that's the big thing. They got to stay focused. I think the U.S. will come out with a win. I'm definitely behind the U.S. of A. Huge. I loved watching international hockey, and I feel as if these guys were able to adapt. Even if somebody like Carlson were to make a mistake and cost us that first goal, I think these guys are strict on each other. I think that they know what's going on. I love the fact that after TJ Oshie got the winner in that shootout, he points down to Jonathan Quick. So there's definitely a team mentality. He knows he's not the only guy out there. He knows he didn't, even though he got that final goal, it wasn't just him out there. It was Jonathan Quick on the other end making that final save, also being a part of it. So definitely a good group of guys here, a good team. I'm very excited to watch these next couple games. And, yeah, the U.S. is up against the Czech Republic noon on Wednesday the 19th, so definitely check that out. And if you want to get up early and see Ovechkin and the Russians go up against Finland, that game will be on at 7:30 Wednesday 19th. And hey, get up, stay up, 3 a.m. I don't even know if the show will be done by 3 a.m., but 3 a.m. February 19th, you can watch Sweden go up against Slovenia. So a lot of fun stuff coming up. We should bring this up as well. We really haven't been covering it as close as we should, but the U.S. women's hockey team, they are in the gold medal game, and that game is on Thursday, February 20th at noon, and it's the U.S. versus Canada. I don't know if you got to see the women's game, U.S. versus Canada, before. Canada came out on top, so they definitely have some history. Back in November when there was an exhibition game, there was a line brawl. These two teams do not like each other, and I think it shows. But if you're going to watch ice hockey, if you want a fun game, U.S. versus Canada women's hockey, I think, is going to be one definitely to watch. It's a gold medal game, so the U.S. has a chance of bringing the gold home for women's hockey.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be a great thing for the U.S. and for women's hockey. You know, to have the opportunity to go out there and win. The Canadians won in the earlier game off a bogus call where the whistle was blown, the puck wasn't in the back of the net, then it went in the back of the net, the ref was like, oh, okay, here, we'll give it to you. I was like, what? So, you know, I'm hoping for the U.S. to be able to pull out a win there, because it would be great to see. It would be great if both U.S. teams could come out with gold medals in hockey. That would just be awesome.
Absolutely.
I think it would be great for the sport in the U.S. too, to sort of, you know, the NHL does still get to sort of the knock as a niche sport, and it is to some extent. But I think it would be great for the U.S. to have, you know, that sort of opportunity to have both of their teams winning gold medals.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely have loved this week at work and being on social media, because usually I always talk my hockey on Twitter, Facebook. I have a lot of friends that don't watch hockey. And I love seeing my Facebook news feed, everybody saying, oh, she, USA, all of that on Saturday. Everybody was watching that game. And when I went into work this week, I was like, hey, you see that Russian-USA game? And he was like, man, that was some great hockey, wasn't it? And everybody's been coming up to me talking about that. So I've loved being actually able to talk hockey with people I see on a regular basis, and not people at work who are always like, yeah, you like those the Caps, right? You know, so it's cool that a lot of people are getting into it, and I'm happy that hockey's getting a little bit more airplay. But and this has been fun, man. I've really enjoyed Olympic hockey. I mean, the NHL still a lot of fun to watch, but there's just something about this Olympic international hockey that's just different, and it's there's so much intensity there. I guess it's just
it is.
Yeah, I guess it's just national pride for each country. It's really interesting.
Well, there is definitely the national pride to it. And to go off that real quick, can we just say that the jerseys the U.S. team wore against was it Slovenia in the third game?
Slovenia, yeah.
Slovenia, thank you. The jerseys they wore, that's the one that I have. They need to wear that jersey all of the time. The other jerseys suck. I have that one, and it's very classy. I don't understand. Like, Sweden has the exact same jersey every year.
Yeah.
Like, you know, every year, that doesn't make – every 4 years. But, like, why can't the U.S. just have that one and then reverse it in, like, a blue with you? I mean, it's just – that's great. But anyways, no, I mean, I think the reason it's so great is not only because we get it so rare, because, yeah, after every season, you know, they have, like, the World Cup hockey – not World Cup. You know, they have that tournament. And, like – but you don't have the best players playing in that tournament. Some guys just like, no thanks. Some guys are busy playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But this is the sort of thing is that it's just – it only happens once every 4 years. The intensity – because these games, every game matters. You know, not like with the NHL season, we're like, yes, every game is supposed to matter, but there are times where teams will take not nights off, but like they just don't bring their best game. You have to, because you only have so many games in the Olympics. So I think the intensity and the desire to win a gold medal and to win that for your country, it just makes things so much more intense that you're on the edge of your seat just watching every game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless you're playing Latvia.
I just want to say, I think of all the jerseys, Finland wins for best jersey this year. I love the Finland jerseys.
With like the blue cross across the one side?
Yes, yes. No. I like them. The U.S. jerseys, I don't like the white bottom U.S. jerseys because they look exactly like Slovenia. Or Slovakia, Slovakia.
That first game, I was sitting there watching that game with my sister, and we were like, wait, aren't their jerseys the exact same, just reversed?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, come on, Nike, you can't do better than that.
I will say, though, for all the flack that those stars are getting on the shoulders of the U.S., I actually did enjoy seeing them on the ice because under the lights, the way the light hits those stars, it actually kind of looks like there's a flag waving depending on which way they're standing. And if they're in motion, it looks like a flag is waving. So I actually did that. The fake laces on everything need to just terrible. Go away. But the like you said, the third USA jerseys, I was surprised. And I'm like, what the hell are they wearing? I didn't know that this was even an option for these guys. But they were definitely cool retro throwback USA jerseys. But maybe not give Nike the reins next time around. That would be the best bet because they're screwing up NFL jerseys. They're doing weird stuff to the Olympics. Maybe Nike just needs to like call it quits. But yeah, that's pretty much it for what's going on in Sochi. So I think we're gonna go take a quick trip up 83. But before we do that, let's make a pit stop here in Baltimore. Let's talk about the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Hey there, Caps fans. Now, I know it doesn't matter where you come from, whether it be Washington or Baltimore, we love our Capitals. But if you're like me, born and raised Baltimore, your baseball team is the Baltimore Orioles, and our buddies over at Section 336, a part of the Baltimore Sports Report Network, they are celebrating their year one of their podcast with a live show. Check these guys out. It's on Sunday, March 16th at 8 p.m. at Mother's Peninsula Grill in Arnold, Maryland. Section 336 will be doing a live episode of the show, of their podcast. Congrats, guys, on doing a full year of your show. Go to section336.com for more details. And come out and see a live podcast, man. What else are you going to do on a Sunday night? I think at this point, The Walking Dead should be over. So you definitely should come out and check out Section 336 instead. Again, it's at Mother's Peninsula Grill in Arnold, Maryland. And hey, support podcasters supporting podcasters. Nothing wrong with that. And they are celebrating 1 year as a podcast with a live show. Nothing cooler than that, man. Section336.com for more information for their live show on Sunday, March 16th at 8 p.m. at Mother's Peninsula Grill in Arnold, Maryland. All right, here we go. We are going up 83. We are here to talk about the Hershey Bears, the Reading Royals. Plenty of stuff going on. Coach Dan, what's going on with the Hershey Bears this week?
Well, since we last talked, Hershey went 3-0 with wins over Albany and 2 over Wilkes-Barre Scranton. The Bears are on an excellent 5-game winning streak.
All right.
Awesome for them. They currently sit at second in the East Division with 64 points. They are 2 points behind division-leading Binghamton and are fourth in the conference. The Bears have gone on a great run over the last couple of weeks and jumped up from being out of the playoffs to second in the division, almost in first. Hershey plays again on Saturday and Sunday in a home-and-home against Syracuse. Saturday's game is at the Giant Center, while Sunday's, even though it is an away game, will be at the Verizon Center for the AHL Showcase. So that should be a lot of fun to see the guys playing down at Verizon Center. Remember, a couple years ago, the game was actually on TV down here?
Yeah, that was during the lockout.
Is the game going to be on TV again?
They haven't said yet, but that was during the lockout year. So if you remember, there were plenty of chants of Bettman sucks, we want hockey.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of interesting because, like, the AHL guys were like, we're playing hockey. We just want to play.
Stop yelling about other stuff. We're playing, guys. Come on, focus.
So it's kind of interesting. We're used to going up 83 to get to Hershey Bear games. They're coming down 83 to play a Hershey Bears game.
They're confused. It's the other way around, guys. Come on. As for Reading, they went 2-1-1 with wins over Elmira and Evansville, but also lost to Wheeling and a shootout loss to Evansville. Reading currently sits at first in the Atlantic Division with 58 points, four up on second-placed Wheeling, and are fourth in the conference. Reading plays next on Wednesday the 19th at home against Wheeling, and then they go out and play against the Gladiators,
ooh,
both away games on Friday and Saturday, and then have, you'll like this one, and then they have another away game against the Road Warriors.
All right.
That is their schedule up through the next time we will talk again next week. That is the past week in minor league hockey.
All right, very cool. Well, we already pretty much talked about what was going on around the NHL, so let me get you guys ready for what is coming up Olympic hockey-wise. We already talked about the women's hockey game, the U.S. and Canada in the gold medal game. That will be on Thursday, February 20th. That game is at noon, and the bronze medal game is at 7 a.m., and that will be Sweden versus Switzerland. So pretty good hockey going on right there. The men's, they're in the quarterfinals right now on Wednesday, February 19th at 3 a.m., just in a few hours, actually. Sweden versus Slovenia, 7:30 a.m. will be Finland versus Russia. At noon, it's a pair of games, and it will be Canada versus Latvia and the U.S. versus the Czech Republic. Then on Friday, whoever wins those four will go down to the semifinals. Those games will be at 7 a.m. and at noon. And then on Saturday, February 22nd, the bronze medal game will be happening at 10 a.m. And then on Sunday, February 23rd, the gold medal game will be at 7 a.m. So get up early for the gold medal game on Sunday, the 23rd. Hoping to see the U.S. playing in that gold medal game. So we'll see what happens in the Olympics. This has been fun so far covering the Olympics. I've had a great time watching these games. So if you want to talk to us, get us up early. If you're up at 3 a.m. watching the Sweden game, don't tweet to us. That would just be rude to have the phones go off that early. But if you want to talk hockey during normal working hours with Coach Dan or I, you can tweet to us. At Brando Cash is my Twitter handle. And Coach Dan, where can people follow you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like the network over there. You'll get information about this show and all the other shows we do on the Brando Cash Network. Let me tell you, if you live in Maryland, I have a special podcast that will be debuting in a month or two. I'm very excited about. Really can't say a lot more about it. But you'll get more information at Facebook.com/BrandoCash when it becomes available. Also, a new episode of The Call came out this week. We talk about the Terrell Suggs signing. So if you're a Ravens fan, listen to The Call. That's available on iTunes and Stitcher, just like this show. This show is available on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and CapsHill.com. So make sure you're listening in one of those ways and telling people about us. Be social with the show and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Instagram and Reddit, anywhere you are social, even if you're on Google Plus, even though it's probably really lonely over there, just post it somewhere and let people know that you're a Caps fan. You listen to What the Puck, and they should too. Make sure you write us an iTunes review. Go on to Stitcher, write us a review there as well. Kind of helps us gain a little bit of notoriety. And I found a great new podcast about New York history, the Bowery Boys. That was their main iTunes pick, that and made it their headline of the week last week. If you guys write us reviews and we get a little bit more popular, there's a chance What the Puck could get picked when the Stanley Cup rolls around. So definitely would help us out if you wrote us an iTunes review and helped us kind of gain a little bit more notoriety in iTunes. So I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. Washington Capitals fans, it doesn't matter who you're rooting for in the NHL. We got Olympic hockey going on right now. And if you're living in the USA, of course we want you to say, go USA, bring home the gold.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
All right, hold on for 1 second. I need to go get my charger for my iPad because I'm down to 5%. And I don't want to lose you. Hold on.
Speaking of, that would be a terrible segue. Let's try it again. Reading plays next.
Are you doing your podcast thing?
I am. Say hi to Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hello.
She can't. He just said hi.
You're on headphones, I'm
assuming? Yeah, I'm on headphones.
That's what I thought.
Are you in the middle of a show right now? A
little bit, yeah.
Little bit. What's up? We can include this.
Say hi to everybody.
Say hi, Brooke.
Brooke. Use the microphone.
Say hi.
Hi.
There you go.
Hi.
Can you say rock the red?
The red.
There you go. Good.